what was the Detroit rock scene like at the time when Death was active?
Well, I mean, Detroit, the rock scene was, it was Detroit Rock City. I mean, there was good rock and roll everywhere, good rock and roll coming to all the major venues, good rock and roll coming to the clubs, good rock and roll in the streets. It was just great time to be in Detroit.
And the other side of town was good Motown. And then the other side of town was good blues. So, I mean, it was just full of music, man.
How did all of this come together to influence your kind of, it's a kind of a proto-punk sound? I mean, in the shadow of Motown, and it's a big blues city. Yeah, Detroit rock, but you guys were doing something a little bit different than the other rock bands at the time.
A lot of people say, the historians say that we were doing something different, and we appreciate that. We felt that we were doing something a little bit more faster and aggressive maybe than a lot of the rock bands that we were listening to and in tune to. David used to say that all the time. But, I mean, Mariah, you have to understand, you know, during that time, that was the early 70s, mid-70s. You know, the term punk music hadn't even been phrased yet in reference to music. Back during those days, if you call someone a punk, in Detroit especially, you know, you got either one or two things, a black eye or a bloody nose. So, you know, we didn't know that we were laying down the groundwork for what is called punk music. We were just playing what we considered to be hard-driving Detroit rock and roll. You know, we wanted to be, as fast and as crisp as the MC5 and as Iggy and as Bob Seger and the early bands and, you know. So, you know, Grand Funk Railroad, you know. So, you know, Ted Nugent, the Amboy Dukes. I mean, that's who we were. I mean, that's the sound that we were tuning into. So, you know, we just kind of took our own originality. We put our own originality with it. And, you know, especially with David, you know, I mean, that basically is what it was. It was just kind of harder, faster music. But we just called it hard-driving Detroit rock and roll.
Were there other acts that you worked with that were on the fringe like you were, or did you feel kind of just on your own with your sound?
Well, I mean, there was other musicians that we knew who were, you know, playing on our level, which, you know, was, I guess was kind of semi-pro level or whatever. And they were playing the clubs, and they were doing, you know, they were in and out of the studios. So, I mean, we felt that we had a lot of company, but the thing was, it's just that our sound was so different. It was, even at the production company we was working with, it was a little bit difficult because, you know, everybody else was doing soul and disco and R&B, and we were like the only, they were working with a little taste of rock and roll here and there, but we were the only mainstay rock and roll band that was in the production company. So it was kind of a little bit weird at times, but, you know, we made it work. We gathered some influence from them, and, you know, it probably reflects in the music because, I mean, there's Motown, there's James Brown, there's, you know, all mixed with the Detroit Rock City stuff, man. It just comes out like like what it is.
You guys are playing Detroit this Saturday. What is it like to return back to the city in which, you know, it all started?
Oh, man, it's great. It's great. I mean, we meet a lot of old friends. We play to some really, really nice crowds. And it's so great, man, because, you know, we love Detroit so much. I mean, you know, we're out there waving the Detroit flag, and I guess, you know, it's just, frankly, it's because of the Detroit that we knew and we loved when we was growing up. And, you know, we realize it's changed a little bit, but I think there's a lot of good things in store for Detroit City. Okay, all we got to do is hold on to our hats.
I will agree with you there. I mean, despite the number of economic hardships that the city's gone through, in recent years, the music has always seemed to stay alive and be thriving. So,
yeah. So, and that's always a good place to start for Detroit.
What was it like for you guys to find popularity with your music so far removed from when you recorded it? Now, I'm sure you had fans when you were in operation, but it's so far removed. And what is that like?
Well, you know what? We were pretty obscure, actually, even back during the days when we were doing this in Detroit. Because we were just so misunderstood and rejected by everyone. It's kind of surreal, you know? I mean, when the way people react to death today, and then when we think of in terms of that I have a running joke with the band, you know, back in those days, I literally couldn't get death arrested in the 70s. And, we're just amazed. And not only are we amazed, but we're very appreciative of the fact that the fans brought us back and that we're appreciative of the fact that we stuck around and hung around and played music all of our lives to be, kind of ready and in the position to seize the opportunity once the opportunity came.
It's very reminiscent to me, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the story of another Detroit native, Rodriguez, where, many, many years after the recording of his album, he too, found some newfound popularity, again, tied to the release of a documentary, kind of acting as a gateway. How many other secrets does Detroit have? How many other master tapes are hiding in attics and old burnt out buildings that people don't know about?
We can only guess, man.
Well, there was an old saying in Detroit, there's 8 million stories in the naked city.
Yeah.
We're just one of them.
Yeah.
We're just one of them. Rodriguez is just another story. There's probably obscure people in the inner cities of Detroit that's, probably even more relevant, than most of us would be. You never know. I mean, there's talent everywhere, undiscovered, because I don't think, for the most part, man, I think that, sometimes the record industry can be such a big monster structure until it can actually scare you away from it. And, a lot of people who is looking for opportunity, sometimes it takes almost a lifetime just to come to that one bright opportunity. So you never know, really.
Yeah, there was a lot of bands. In Detroit, there was a lot of bands.